Thank you, Ben, for reading our scripture story. And I have to say, every week of this series, I keep looking at this set behind me and thinking, I want to bring in like a solo cup and fill up like with some lemonade or something just to set the scene. Well, we have arrived at the last week of our series on Parched. And the reason we picked this series is not because we knew that we would be in the midst of a nationwide heat wave, although you might think we had that kind of forethought. It was really because we just recognized in the summer we're busy, we're pulled in lots of different directions sometimes, and we can easily end up parched, feeling empty in our own spiritual lives. And so each week what we've tried to do along this journey is look at a different practice, a different thing we could center in on, maybe focus on, that could help us have fuller cups, that could get us through the heat of the summer and carry us into the fall. So just a quick recap, let me tell you some of the things we've journeyed together through. We spent some time looking at how we pay attention, at what it means to rest, at what we find when we explore and try new things. And last week we talked about what is it to have a rhythm of prayer. So, as Mindy and I were reflecting on our message for today, we recognized that all of those practices have felt pretty internal. They're things that are just in our own cup. And that's probably important. You need to make sure there's something in your cup, right? That we're not starting in a place of emptiness. And yet, this last week we wanted to make an intentional turn, to think about something that takes us beyond those things that are internal to ourselves, but to really look at how do these practices lead us out to impact the wider world around us. So, as we dive into our topic for today, would you pray with me? God, either through me or in spite of me, might you speak words to your people today, words of hope, words of challenge, words that invite us to see you and ourselves in a new and fuller way. God, move as only you can. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So our belief that anchors this series is that to have full spiritual cups, we need to pay attention, right, to our inner lives and also to the wider world around us. And the idea behind that feels pretty basic, right? You matter to God, and so what is inside of us matters to God. And guess what? Everybody else matters to God as well. And so caring and noticing and paying attention to those around us is important. And so the spiritual practice that we think holds those two ideas together is that of giving. And so that's the spiritual practice we're going to explore today. What does it look like when we give? Now, last week, Pastor Mindy invited you, if you have one of those paper bulletins that they gave you when you walked in, to pull out the notes sheet and to write down a question. And I'm going to do the same thing this week. So if you're joining us online, find something to write on. Grab maybe a piece of paper, a pen from your pew back. But I want to invite you to write down this question, that it might be one that stays with you through the week. So here it is. How do you respond when somebody gives you a gift? How do you respond when somebody gives you a gift? All right, I think you've got it. Maybe take a second and write down your answer to that. And I looked out and there are one or two of you who I know just a little bit who are now nudging the person next to you. And you're smiling and you're thinking to yourself, I know what they should be writing right now. Whether they're actually writing that or not is yet to be determined. So, this may not seem like the deepest theological, spiritual question to start with, but how we respond when somebody gives us a gift is often less about what that gift actually is, and it's more about what's going on inside of us. So this is a moment that I know you've all been waiting for, but we're going to have a moment of true confession from one of your pastors, okay? Really, actually, you're going to get true confession from two of your pastors. Because as Mindy and I were working on this message together, we discovered that we share this same oddly specific and embarrassing truth. Okay? You ready for it? Here we go. Neither Mindy nor I sent all of the thank you notes for our wedding presents. I know, right? That's it. Now, I'd like to say here at St. Luke's, we work really hard to make sure this is a judgment-free space, but I can tell for a few of you, your opinion of me has now forever changed, okay, as a result of this. So, here's what I do want to say. It's, in my case, we sent a few of the notes, but we definitely did not send them to everyone, okay, just to be perfectly clear. Now, what I want to say to you is not sending notes for us was not because we weren't grateful We were grateful. In fact, I can still remember our first wedding present. It was a toaster. We still have it 15 years later. I know the guy who gave it to us, okay? So I'm grateful every time I make toast in the morning, all right, for this gift and what it meant. And yet, if I'm honest, there were some other challenging things that were just happening in that season of our lives that got in the way, that maybe crowded out this expression of gratitude that we had hoped to give. I mean, truthfully, we were 23 years old. We were like packing up our lives and moving them ourselves across the country to a new apartment in Burlington, Vermont. Megan's mom, my mother-in-law, was in the midst of cancer treatment. I mean, there were just things happening. And so what happened along the way is, while life was full and complicated, we missed an opportunity. We missed an opportunity to express some of that gratitude we were feeling because other things were happening in our lives at the time. And that same thing can be true for us in our spiritual lives as well. So here's what I mean. We're talking about giving not to pile on shame or guilt or judgment or for you to feel like, you know, I don't give enough, I don't do enough. I know, Eric, thanks so much for reminding me. I'm glad I came to worship this morning. It's not that. It really is that we're talking about giving because we want to be people who sees the opportunities that are in front of us to respond to all that God has given us. That we don't look back and say, I missed that opportunity, and what if? How could I have done that differently? Because here's the truth. If you don't know it, and maybe you do, but you've forgotten somewhere along the way, that God loves you and has loved you before you were ever created, right? That you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the story that we tell every week as the church is that God continues to show that love for us through Jesus Christ, who would come to earth to be with us, right? To redeem us, to rescue us, to claim us, and to know, for us to know what God's love looks like in the fullest. And when we think about all of that love of God coming to us, we use this really churchy word for it. We call it grace, all right? We say that we have experienced amazing grace. Or grace upon grace sometimes is the way we talk about it. And so in our lives where we have all of this grace, this love of God that's been given to us, the invitation is, how do we respond? What are we led to do next? I think this idea is central to understanding what Paul is trying to do in our scripture text for today. You see, he's trying to communicate to the Corinthians that giving as a response to the grace of God is an essential part of being spiritually healthy. That it's a part of what fills our cup. Now, Paul is really clear in our passage. He doesn't say how you have to give. It's not a checklist like A, B, C, D. Instead, what Paul wants to communicate is that the how maybe is secondary to the bigger idea. And the bigger idea is this, that you give. That giving in and of itself is non-negotiable. It's this crucial spiritual practice to keeping our cup full. And as we talk about it today, you might be thinking about financial giving. That is one of the ways that we give. But often for us, we're in seasons of our lives where maybe we have time, we have a passion, or we have something we're interested in. And those are ways we give as well. So what Paul wants to understand, this community to understand as he's talking to them, is that he's asking them to give because he knows how much they've received. He's looking at this community in Corinth who might be focused on what they lack. They're like, I don't know if we have enough. I don't know if we have something to give. And Paul is looking at them and saying, time out. Like, I see something very different happening for you. Like, church, look at this. Look at how God has been working in you. Look at the abundance of all of these kids' ministries that you had this summer. Look at what's happening through Disciple Bible Study. Look at what God is doing. And because of that, guess what? You have been given all that you actually need. God has been showering you with grace and love. And in response, something should be different about the way in which you live your lives. And so what Paul is saying to the church in Corinth and is still saying to us today is this. We can be more than grace collectors. We actually can be grace distributors. But here's sometimes where our spiritual practices, all the good stuff we talked about, can actually fall a little flat. You see, we get to this place where maybe we're being really intentional. You're like, look, I go to church, I pray, I'm feeling filled up and good, and that's awesome. But the danger for us is that our faith can be something that's all about us, that it just serves us. So we want you to feel filled. We want you to feel connected to Christ. Those are crucial things. But if it doesn't pour out of you, if it's not something that's being given, we miss it. If we only tend to the inner parts of our lives, we miss this chance that God gives us every day to give. So here's the truth. Wherever you are, know that we all have something to give. Now, I can see a few of you looking at me like, I am skeptical. I do not know if I agree with this person. So here's the thing. Yes, even you, wherever you are, no matter how stressed you feel, no matter what is happening in your life or your story, you have something to give out of what God has given to you, full stop, end of sentence, period. That's the truth. Now, understand this can feel tricky because often when we think about giving, we quickly fall into this idea of competition, don't we? Or what does it take to get ahead? We think to ourselves, well, if I had that person's gifts, that's clearly one that you need. I mean, if I could sing like Daria, or if I could stand up and do public speaking like Javon, it would be really incredible. And the truth is, I love Javon, but we don't need six Javons, okay? And he's not here this week, so you can tell him I said that when he comes back next week, all right? We need people who have lots of different gifts. And so it's not a competition for who has what to be able to offer. Some of us think that, well, if I just had that gift, or maybe if I had more of a particular gift, or maybe if my gift were a little different, that would be the difference along the way. Maybe I'd have something more worth giving. And sometimes in our worst moments, we get caught up comparing, and we don't actually give the gift at all, do we? We stop short because we think, wow, I don't have anything to give that somebody else would want to receive. But when we get in that place, Paul is very quick in verse 8 of our scripture text to challenge us, to say, no, everything is a response to God's grace. Let me quote that for you again. It says this, God has the power to provide you with more than enough of every kind of grace. That way, you will have everything you need always and in everything to provide more than enough of every kind of good work. We've got everything we need to experience a kind of return. Grace and love aren't things that compete with one another. They're not things that run out. That even if we give, we don't have to be afraid that, well, then I'll be empty and what will I have to offer again? That God's grace continues to come to us, renew us, fill us. And that as we use our gifts in the world, God's grace comes back to us. Now, as Pastor Mindy and I were talking about sometimes our wanting or to diminish our gifts or to think out of a place of scarcity, she told me this story about when her kids were in kindergarten. They were at a particular school, and in the kindergarten classroom, the teacher was really wise. They would assign each of the kids a different job. These were really important jobs. They were jobs like being the line leader, or being the librarian, or, best of all, you got to be the electrician. Now, the electrician sounds really exciting, doesn't it, in a room of kindergartners? So think about it this way. You might imagine this is like the high-stress, like high-stakes kind of job, a lot's on the line, until you realize that it's really just the kid who turns on and off the light switch. So anyway, but each of these things, each of these jobs was really important. And so her kids would come home and they'd say, guess what, Mom, I got a new job. And they'd tell her about it. They'd be stoked about what it is they got to do. And what Mindy realized is that each of these kids was so excited about their job because their teachers communicated the value that that gift gave, right? I mean, after all, can you imagine the anarchy in a kindergarten classroom if you didn't have a line leader? How would we ever get to art? Like, if we didn't have somebody to turn on the lights, we'd be standing there wondering, what are we supposed to do next, right? I mean, these are crucial roles, and yet, each student knew as they rotated through these jobs that they had something they could give, even if it felt small, even if it felt like maybe it didn't add up to a whole lot. This can be hard for us because sometimes we think that the gifts we have aren't maybe valued or as important. But the truth is, if you even think about church this morning, somebody helped set out these communion trays and fill them. Right? Somebody else came and turned the lights on or printed the bulletins or made all these things happen, and it doesn't happen unless we each take a job, we play our part, we give a gift, whatever that gift may be for you. So recently, Mindy and I were talking about kind of what does this look like? We often want to think our gifts have to be big and huge and important, and yet, sometimes the gifts that we give aren't things that we always even know how they're going to matter in the big picture. Sometimes that's another way we disqualify ourselves as we say, well, I'm not sure that doing this thing is going to amount to a whole lot. I don't even know what difference it would make. But it's often not until we're in the rearview mirror that we get to see that, do we? So just a couple of weeks ago, we had an opportunity to get to see one of those rearview mirror moments up close and personal. You see, we sent students, some of them who are here with us today, on this mission trip to Belize. And along the way, a gift was given and a gift was received, and it made a difference. We told the story in Revelations a couple weeks ago, but I want to tell it to you again in case you happen to have missed it. So on this trip to Belize, our team was doing a bunch of different projects. They were helping with a vacation Bible school. They were doing some home repair. They were out in the community. That we were connected to a particular church along the way. And one of the days, our team went out to visit home of a woman whose house had been impacted by a hurricane. Now, while they were waiting on some supplies to finish the roof repair, our students were looking for other things that they could do to be helpful. And so they ended up with things like cleaning, you know, washing dishes and helping clean up around the house. And one of our students, Allie, settled in to talk to the homeowner, Miss Phyllis. Miss Phyllis, we would guess, is somewhere in her 60s to 70s, hard to know exactly. But as Allie sat and talked with her while other did these chores, Phyllis told her about her life and about what happened. She'd had a lot of challenges along the way. She'd lost a son. She'd suffered a stroke and lost some of her mobility and her eyesight. She'd even lost a family member in COVID. There was a lot of grief and pain in Phyllis's story, but she felt so seen, so loved, and so blessed by her conversation with Allie. In fact, she so appreciated that Allie gave of her time that she gave something to Allie. She gave a handmade bowl that her grandson had carved. It was in the shape of a heart, and she wanted Allie to have it because the time that they spent together had warmed her heart. Now, later in the week, our group gathered with those in the community at this local church, and they had an opportunity to celebrate the week and what it had meant together. And as they did that, Allie got up and shared about her experience with Miss Phyllis and what it had meant to her. And then what was amazing is Miss Phyllis got up and shared what her time with Allie had meant to her. These were two people who were simply just giving what they had. Allie was here in a different country, and the thing that she had to give was her time. And Phyllis, here in her home, welcoming in these strangers, what she gave was her story. And then she gave this heart-shaped bowl as a gift. And I'd guess that neither of these two people would say that what they gave was especially big or significant, right? But because they took the time to give it in the first place, to give what they had, they ended up making a much bigger impact. Both of these people left the trip with something that they hadn't had before they started, all because they said yes to showing up and to giving from a place of gratitude. Paul says that God will give us everything that we need in terms of God's grace coming to meet us. Paul does not promise, nor does Scripture, that that means we're going to end up materially rich. I want to be really clear. But he does promise that we will be rich in other ways. We'll be rich in friends. We'll be rich in relationships. We'll be rich in our connection with God and our ability to be connected to our neighbors. And so maybe the thing that you need to hear today is that God is able to give you what you need in this moment so that you can receive this gift of grace that God has. Maybe the thing that you need is time. Maybe for you it is financial resources to be able to feel like you can see a bigger picture. Maybe it's ability or passion, or maybe it's opportunity. Whatever it is that you feel like you're lacking that prevents you from responding to that grace, God is able to provide that for us. But God will also give us opportunities, right, to be grace distributors rather than just grace collectors. Maybe you'll find some way this week that God will nudge you past your fear, past your cynicism about, well, I don't know if this is going to matter or make a difference, but into some new opportunity where you can be and give grace to somebody else. It's a little bit like those kids with their classroom jobs, right? On the surface, it's not that important. It's just library books. It's just standing in line to go to art class. But it's important for those kids in that time and place, and it's a gift they had to give. And the same is true for each and every one of us. Because here's the truth. Giving, it all leads to something more. More of God's love, more of God's grace, more of a sense that we are blessed to be a blessing. And at the end of the day, giving just multiplies what it is we get to experience. And it also means that we get to grow in some new ways. Because if we don't give, guess what? We miss this chance to be changed, to be a part of somebody else's story, to ultimately be more like Jesus. We miss the chance to have our own cups filled and to move beyond being spiritually parched to a place where our cups might even overflow into the lives of others. So like Paul, as we wrap up, I'm not going to be prescriptive about how it is that you're feeling called to give. That's okay. Instead, I'm going to say that what's essential for you is that you do, that you find a way to give of the grace that God has given to you. When you leave worship today, we've tried to make this easy for you, and so we've created a little sheet that our ushers will hand you that has some checkboxes on it. Maybe an opportunity for you might be in care. There are ways you can call people from your home or that you can write notes of encouragement. Maybe it might be in our hospitality ministry. You could be an usher or a greeter or help on Sunday morning, just welcome folks. Maybe it would be in our kids ministry where we need people to do all kinds of different things. Maybe those are the ways you'd give. It could be that as you're sitting here or going through the week, something will land in your heart or in your mind where it's an opportunity at your kid's school or it's an opportunity in your neighborhood or maybe with a family member. Who knows how God wants to use you to give out of what you have experienced. But whatever that is, know that at the end of the day, the question we all get to answer is this: what's the thing that you have to give? And are you open to that opportunity? I know I've missed it more than once, probably will miss it a few more times, but I'm blessed every time I don't. And the world is better every time that we do. Because frankly, one of the things that gives people hope, that says the status quo is not all there is that there are people like you and me who are moved by Jesus to get out there and continue to believe and then to live something different. That there are people who believe the world can be different and better. And when you experience that, it inspires you to believe that that could be true as well. So my prayer for us is that you would know that you have something to give. And that as you think about what that is or as God places it on your heart, that when you give it, you get to see a little bit of what Allie experienced with Phyllis, the blessing that it is for them and ultimately for the way it would fill your cup. Amen.